Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode,
today in the show, I want to share with you three top ways that I think you can really help to take some pressure off your running and put some enjoyment back in. Paralympic gold medalist Richard Whitehead.
Pete.
Yes.
I've had three missed calls for you. What the f*** do you want?
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plot. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
Welcome back to the Running with Jake podcast. I am indeed your host. I am your motivator. I will do everything in my power to inspire you to get up off the sofa and do a little bit of running, and also to help you improve the skill of running and help you to overcome some of those obstacles. And this is great because, you know, I love working with my one-to-one clients. I love helping people in my performance community. But this podcast just enables me to send that message much further afield. Now, one of the things I was most excited about having a podcast, my own podcast, the Running with Jake podcast, is getting some great guests on to interview. You know, inspirational people with life-changing stories that can inspire you to get out there and run. That's what I want. But of course, as the host, it's not my job to set up the people that we're going to chat to. It's my producer Pete's job to set up the interviews with the people that are going to help to inspire you. And from day one, even when we started talking about the idea of putting a podcast together over a beer, Pete has always promised me that we're going to get Richard Whitehead on.
He'll definitely come on. He'll come on.
So Paralympic gold medalist Richard Whitehead.
Yeah.
All I hear from you, whether it's on text, whether you're sending me a tweet now, you can just pick up the phone and call me, you know.
Right.
He'll send me an email. All I ever hear is Richard Whitehead. Yeah, let's get... I sent Pete a message. Pete, we need to line up some interviews for... obviously, I'm back up in the East Midlands next week, and we're going to record some great content for the show. And Pete's like, yeah, I'll get some guests on, no problem. Richard, I know Richard. We'll get Richard on. I'm yet to experience any kind of communication or conversation with this man.
Well, the problem is he's very busy, so he's got stuff to do, hasn't he? Because he's a gold medalist and he's got gold medals to show off and stuff like that. And you know, he's just very busy. So it's like, I'll say to you, let's have a meeting with Richard, and then you'll say, yeah, that's great, and then Richard won't turn up. And and then, like today, we're supposed to go over to Richard's. We're supposed to go around Richard's house.
Yeah, that didn't happen, did it?
No, it didn't happen, no.
Because why
no.
didn't it happen? Because he cancelled.
No, he cancelled at the last minute. I got a text. I deleted the text, so I can't even show you the text.
Oh, well, isn't that convenient? You
why?
Deleted the text message.
Yeah.
I wonder what this strange fascination is with Richard Whitehead.
What about him?
All you do is talk about him. Richard this, Richard that. Yeah, we're going to get Richard on. We're going to get Richard.
Yeah, yeah.
We should call the show Running with Richard. I even
Why?
Forget who I am.
Right.
It's just
that he's very good. He's very good, isn't he? He's very inspirational. He's after dinner speaking.
Yeah, he might be inspirational, but apparently he doesn't exist. I mean, who cares how inspirational he is? We want him on the show. And I'll tell you what I think.
What?
I don't think you know him.
What?
I don't think you do know him.
What
I don't
do
know where
send,
this
I send
has come
you YouTube
from.
Links.
Oh, I mean, who...
I send you pictures.
Well, I can send you YouTube links of Boris Johnson. It doesn't mean I've got his number in my phone.
I've got his number in my
phone. Show me the text message that you said. He messaged you in the car.
I deleted it.
Oh, well,
because I was angry. I went, delete.
Whatever. You do, yeah.
Whitehead, delete. That's what I did.
Yeah, you
I've got him, look, there, look, there's his number, there's his picture. And the phone.
Okay, so first of all, that could be any number. And who can't take a photo and attach it to a contact in your phone? I mean, anybody can do that.
That was when he won 2012, 200 metres.
Oh, he could make Paralympic. It then. Was he available on that day?
He was available.
Wow. If you know him so well, call him up now.
Well, I don't think we should. He's very, very busy.
Well, he might be busy. But actually, you know, how many times can we have a conversation about this guy?
Right.
I feel like I live with Richard Whitehead. There's so many other people out there, inspirational people we can contact and try and set up. You clearly don't know him. It's not going to work out.
I do know. We'll call him now. We'll arrange it now.
Availability. Oscar's got better availability than Richard Whitehead. I think we just need to move on, quite frankly.
Oscar's in prison.
Well, that's my point.
We'll phone him now, yeah?
Phone him now. And if he doesn't answer, that's it.
Pete,
yes.
I've had three missed calls from you. What the f*** do you want?
Well, you see, Jake, this is Richard. Richard, Jake, Richard. I know Richard. Confirmed.
Pete, do I need to get one of those court orders out for you, or do I...
When I said
you're
I
following
know...
me around Tesco's, you're slipping notes into my letterbox, and now you're calling me 24 hours a day.
You see,
what's going on?
These are the lengths, Jake, that I go to get a star on our show. You know that bush that you've got outside your front door, Richard?
Yes,
I'm in there.
Pete.
I spend nights in there. Just trying to get you on this show.
Now, that I can believe, I must admit. You spending nights in bushes.
Can I have my legs back as well? I think you've missed a pair of my legs.
I did not take your legs. I did not take your legs. I tell you what, your legs are flipping awesome, though. Because Rich has got running legs and he's got day legs.
I need some dancing legs next, don't I, for out-of-hours leisure. That's what I need next.
You do. You need dancing legs. I tell you the great thing about not having legs, Richard, is you will never understand the kind of knee pain I've had. Seriously. You won't get it.
With a head as big as yours, I bet you get a lot of knee pain, right?
I just need to confirm here that this is not some impersonator that you've kind of set me up with.
I was going to come on the phone like all this and all that kind of, oh yes, I know Pete, he's my best friend. But it's not really the case.
You see, I do know him. So you're available to come on the show at some point, Richard?
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
Yeah, I'm always around running around the city, but unfortunately, like, diaries just haven't aligned, have they? And
No.
Busy. I'm super busy, and I'm sure we'll finally get some kind of some podcast work together, and it'd be good to catch up.
So you're definitely available to come on the podcast, yeah?
Yes.
Great.
I will do that just for you, as long as these calls stop.
Yes, of course I'll stop. I'll stop harassing you. You can come on the podcast, and then we'll never speak again, which will be very upsetting.
You guys, and get on the gravy train with you.
Say that again, mate. Sorry, you broke up, mate.
Yeah, no, that's because I want to put the phone down because you annoy me that much.
Richard, you enjoy your journey, okay? And enjoy Windsor or whatever you're doing.
Okay, nice one.
Take care, mate. See you, man.
Bye-bye.
Didn't I tell you I know him? Richard Whitehead, my friend, on the show whenever we want.
I think you use the term friend very loosely. However, yes, I agree, you know him, and he will come on the show whenever we want. Now, we want him on the show now. We had him on the show, and you let him go.
Still to come on Running with Jake.
I'm planning to run 62 miles back up to Derby.
My gosh, so. I mean, it makes me tired just thinking about it. You're bonkers. I think it's brilliant.
I am bonkers. Yay!
But now, with something even more interesting, here's Jake.
Now, as a coach and a runner myself, I see a lot of people putting sometimes an insane amount of pressure on their ability to run. And this is all levels, by the way. It doesn't matter whether you're experienced, whether you're new to the sport, whether you're a 10K runner or a seasoned marathon runner. Pressure definitely creeps into our training at some point, and it can play havoc with our enjoyment of it. Now, we're not Olympic athletes. We're recreational runners. And we may run for different reasons, for personal achievement, to collect medals, to lose weight, to increase our mental health or our energy levels. But ultimately, we want to enjoy it. I think we can all agree that that's what we want from our running. So managing that pressure is really important. I think a certain amount of pressure is healthy, but too much of it, and I think it can start to hinder your performance and enjoyment. So today in the show, I want to share with you three top ways that I think you can really help to take some pressure off your running and put some enjoyment back into the sport. So the first thing I want to share with you, the first tip, is walk more. Now, this is a really funny thing because so many runners will think that if they stop and walk during a run, they cannot class that run as a run because they've stopped and walked. And I want to say to you, that is absolutely nonsense, because what walking does, it does a few things for you. First of all, it helps to reduce some of that physical pressure. So if you're out there doing a long run at the weekend and you take a few mini walking breaks, what that does is it just reduces some of the stress going through the body. So it enables you to recover more after the session, so you're more fresh for your future runs. But also, it enables you to feel better during that run and therefore get more enjoyment out of it. Walking is not a bad thing. And just by simply allowing yourself to walk and know that it's okay to put some of that into your running, I think you will naturally help to reduce some of that pressure and you'll just feel better for it. Because if you're finding that a particular run is really, really is difficult, let's say you're going out there, you're training for a half marathon, it's your first half marathon, you've never covered 13.1 miles before, and you're out there on a Sunday morning running 8 miles, and this is a new distance for you, for this race you've got coming up. So that pressure starts to build. And if you're at 6 miles thinking, my gosh, I'm finding this really tough, but I can't walk, it's just going to play havoc with your mind, and that's not what it's about. So just by stopping just for a few seconds, it really does not matter at all. I do it all the time. I've been running 12 years and I have no issue with putting some mini walking breaks into some of my runs. So that's the first tip, and something that I think can really help reduce some of that pressure. Number two, don't race every race. Now, there can be a temptation the minute that you sign up for a race to race it, you versus the clock. And the problem is, if we do, because there's so many great events out there, and if we sign up for an event and we do it and we love it, what do? we add it to our race list next year because we loved it and we had a great time. We want to then add it to the list. So that list of races gets longer. And there's a problem there because if you're racing every race, then again, it builds up that pressure and also it builds up physical stress, which is another reason to not race every race. So always go into these events and consider, first of all, whether it is a race, it's you versus a clock, or whether you're treating this as an event. Because if it's an event, it's very different. Maybe you're doing it as a training run. If it's an event, maybe that you're raising money for a charity that's close to your heart, or maybe you're just running with friends, it's more of a social thing, or you might be pacing a friend and helping them to get through it. So there is a significant difference between a race and an event. And I think it's really important before you get to that Sunday morning and that starting line to know which one it is for you. And the third tip I've got for you, which is, I've got to say, is a bit of a bugbear of mine, and I see this so often, is pausing the watch. Now, most of us will use running watches, GPS watches, which is great, all that fantastic data. It tells us how far we've gone, the pace, and monitors our heart rate. Brilliant. But I see it all the time. Runners get to a junction, they get to the traffic lights, and then it's bleep, pause the watch. Because you want accurate data, you want to know what your average pace is for that run. I get it. I understand why you're doing it. But here's the problem. The minute you pause your watch, once again, you're tapping into the subconscious and you're telling yourself that this run really matters. You're giving it a sense of importance that it perhaps doesn't have. You're telling yourself that the pace matters, that the finish time matters when it doesn't. So if you just let your watch run on and you don't pause it, you take off that pressure. And, you know, we all use different apps like Strava or Garmin Connect or Polar Flow or whatever running device you've got. And most of these funky apps will tell you what your average moving time is anyway. It'll kind of take out those moments where you've stopped to cross a road or stopped to go through a gate or tie your shoelace. So you don't really need to pause your watch. So next time you're out there on a run, just try and put aside the temptation to stop and pause that watch when you're crossing the road. So to recap, quick summary, three ways to take pressure off your running, which I think can really help you and help you ultimately get, you know, feel better about the sport, which is what I want and I know you want. So number one is walk more. Do not be afraid to put some mini walking breaks into any of your runs. There is absolutely no problem in doing that. Number two is don't race every race. If it's a race, fine. It's you versus a clock. If it's an event, make it an event and take some pressure off. And number three is stop pausing that watch. I'll tell you, if I see you, I'm not going to be happy. So make sure you don't do that.
Running with Jake, the podcast.
This is quite different, actually. It's quite nice because obviously the Running with Jake podcast is about real runners, real stories. But normally we're confined to a studio, whereas now we're actually chilling out somewhere in the middle of Mansfield.
Yep.
With Jackie, which is great. Chilling out with Danny, who's made an awesome coffee, eating biscuits, and I'm dropping them all over the floor, I have to say.
That's fine.
You know, it's fine. It's fine. But that running is about balance, isn't it? It's about chilling out, putting the calories back.
That's it, yeah.
So tell me, what have you got going on then? Tell me a bit about what running you've been doing. You mentioned you had a long run at the weekend, didn't you?
I did have a long run at the weekend, yeah. I've just started to up my training. I kind of work backwards from what everybody else does when they've got a big run coming up. I do it the other way around. I don't taper down. I kind of taper up.
Taper up?
Yeah.
This is a new method. I'm going to take some notes here. Pass this on to my runners. So tapering up. So how does this look for you then?
So I've started like about 6 or 7 weeks ago, just running 4, 5, 6 miles, like 3 or 4 times a week. And then I drop in a longer run, so like 8 mile or a 10 mile. And then last weekend we did 13 miles. And the week before that we did another 13 miles. And I'll keep on doing now with 13, 14 and 15 up until, I think I've got about 3 weeks left now until my big run. So that's, I probably won't get much further than 16 miles, but I think if I can run 16 miles, I can wing the rest of it.
See, I love this. Runners, I've always said, are such a passionate bunch of people. And this is clearly the case with Jackie. And they know all about the numbers. Yeah. I just asked one question and you're firing all these numbers at me, what you did, what you've got planned. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So do you follow a plan or do you create this yourself? Or?
No, I create it myself. A few years ago when I first started, my friend, he kind of helped me and he did say, right, we should be running 20 miles this week and then 27 miles a week after. And it was easier to do it that way than you know, to follow any kind of 16-week marathon plan, because they say, oh, you should run this and you should be running at a tempo speed. And to be quite honest, I don't even know what that means. So if someone's telling me you run at a tempo, you should be doing a split difference of this, that and the other, I don't know what that means. I just run. If it feels good, I run. If I run faster, I run faster. If I run slower, I run slower.
It can be very confusing, can't it?
It can.
When you start to look online and all this different information and you should do this, as you say, you should do that. It can be very confusing. But I think ultimately, you know, and I always say to people as well, you know, we train people a lot with science, so we kind of test them, we put them through a test, and we get them to train on heart rate and all that kind of stuff, which is great. But I always say to people, ultimately, you've got to think about how you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the ultimate governor, isn't it? That's got to guide how you run. It depends, you know, you don't always feel the same on every single run.
No.
So what goals have you got coming up then? Because this is it Reservoir
Dogs?
Dogs.
Yes. It's a Punk Panther race. They do loads of races, and this one I picked because it was slightly easier than any of the others that they do, because this one's 27 miles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's running around Yorkshire, the lakes. So it's going to be pretty scenic, but it's going to be very tough.
So have you done anything like this before in terms of distance? Give me a bit of background on your running. What sort of stuff have you done then?
Well, I've done about 5 ultramarathons, which is, as you know, anything over 26 miles is classed as an ultramarathon. But the ultras that I've done have all been 33.3 or 35 miles. So
proper stuff. That's proper mileage, proper isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
mileage.
Heavy.
Yeah.
What is it that appeals about the ultra stuff? Because I mean, you know, I talk about runners being passionate, but when it comes down to ultra marathoners, which, as you say, is anything over 26 miles, I think they just turn it up another notch in terms
breed.
Of passion. You know, it's a different breed, as you say. What is it that appeals to you about those crazy distances?
It helps clear your mind. It really, really does. And the first 6 miles, you hate it, and you think, oh, I wish I could trip over and break something just so I don't have to finish this. But you know, as you get halfway, and you think, I've actually broke this back, I can do this. And then it reminds you that you can do it, and it just puts you on a whole new level. And just being able to say at the end of it, I've done an ultramarathon. What did you do today? I ran an ultramarathon. Why? Just because I can.
How did it start for you with your running?
I've done a few Race for Life races, which was always fun. But then a few years ago, I lost my sister, and she had to be in the care of Treetops Hospice. And I thought, after she'd died, I thought, what can I do to give something back to them? And I thought, I can run. What can I run? I'll do a 5K, 10K. And then my friend Colette, she says, well, why don't you do a half marathon, Jack? I was like, yeah, but you have to run it with me then. So we signed up for Wakefield Half Marathon, and that was my first run. And then I did a couple more in that year of half marathons. And I thought, you know what, I can do a little bit more than this. And my friend said, well, why don't we try an ultra? I was like, God, that's really hard. And he says, yeah, but you get 10 hours to do it. I was like, well, I could probably walk it in there. So yeah, let's have a go. And we finished the first ultra in 6 hours 15, which is a steady pace. It is including stopping and having food, because it's just like a mobile buffet.
Well, do you know, there's somebody that springs to mind, one of my runners that's in my performance community that we actually spoke to on the previous show, and Isabel, who's really into the big distance. And it's funny talking to you, because she's quite similar in terms of that, you know, you talk about the sort of the mental side of pushing yourself. Well, what can I do? What am I capable of? And she sort of gets all that. But she says the same thing. She says, oh, these ultras are great because you have like these food stops.
It's just every 6 miles.
I get the impression that it's kind of a little bit more, you can take a bit more of a chilled approach to it if you wish. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you do have the crazy people that leg it, they start out, and I think some of them have like finished in 3.5-4 hours, which for me is faster than what my marathon time was. It's mad, really crazy. But yeah, then you get the other people who walk. They walk a little bit, run a little bit, have a little sandwich, have a little another walk. It's great. It's just a really relaxed community. It's nice.
So which marathon is it that you did then?
I did Manchester Marathon last year.
Manchester, wow. Okay.
Absolutely amazing. Perfectly flat. The best one. The best one.
I've done Manchester myself as well. I've done it twice? Three times? Twice? Three times, I think. And I'm doing it next year, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Are you? Wow, see, yeah, fantastic. That's brilliant. I'm going to bring the selfie stick. We have to have a selfie at some point. Come on. We're talking all positive stuff about the running and everything it does for you and everything you're giving back.
Yeah.
What do you struggle with running? What barriers do you face on occasions in your training? Do you always spring out of bed and think, yeah, I've got to run today? Nope. Or do you have obstacles that stop you? Danny's shaking his head here. He knows you've got some obstacles. So what are your barriers to running? What do you struggle with?
Mine is running long distance on my own. Really, really struggle with that. So I just can't do it. I can get up and I can run 4 or 5 laps around Manor at the back of me, which is like 3 or 4 miles, and then that's it, running anything longer than that without somebody at the side of me. Because I'm one that, if I can walk, I will walk. But if I'm running with people, I'm like, I'm not letting them down. I'm not going to let them think of me as a slow person or the one who has to stop. So I'm going to keep going. I'll just keep running. So that's why I prefer running long distance in a group. But
okay, for the motivation side of things.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know, it's so funny, isn't it? I mean, I'm sensing from what you're saying, and especially because of the stuff you've done, the awesome events you've been involved in and completed, it's more the psychology of the long run rather than the physical element. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I can run it. I know I can run it. It's just getting my head to understand that I can do it.
This can happen so often, this pressure the runners put on ourselves, don't we, really?
You do, yeah. I think. Absolutely. You're running and you see somebody that's running a little bit faster in front of you and you think, I cannot do that. I cannot keep up with that person. But then you've got to think, why am I trying to keep up with that person? I'm not trying to be better than anybody except myself, what I was yesterday.
I think the key is knowing why you run, which I know sounds really obvious. Well, why do we do anything? But actually, it's not always necessarily that easy to answer.
I say
to a lot of people, if you're not really, really... Because the obvious answer is, well, it's good for my fitness and, you know, it's good to look after your health and, you know, it helps manage weight or whatever. But actually, to really understand what your reason is, why you run, isn't an easy thing. But if you can find that, I think it helps keep you on track. You can do all these amazing goals.
Yeah. I like medals.
Medals.
If
gotta
there's
be.
No medal at the end of it, I'm not doing it, mate.
are you a Medal Monday queen?
I definitely am.
On Instagram. Every Monday after a race, Pete, this is what we see. Hashtag Medal Monday.
Yeah, love it.
You know, running is really important to me, but I go through all the same emotions as everybody else. But I said to you earlier about the whole event thing and the race. It's the whole weekend, isn't it? Because it tells a story. Whether it goes well or in your mind it doesn't go well, or the highs and the lows physically and emotionally, it's all creating a memory.
Yeah, or seeing people in the hotel that you're staying in. I remember when we was at one of the half marathons I was running, and we was in the foyer in the evening booking in, and some guy looked and he went, "You're running tomorrow then? Yeah, are you? Yeah, right. You feel, oh, I'm nervous. I'm dead nervous." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, you'll be fine. Just do it." You're
That's
like,
brilliant.
"Yeah, all right then." It is that, though, isn't it? When you're walking around afterwards as well with your medals and everybody's walking into the same pub with the same medals. You're like, did it?
It's absolutely. I mean, we booked, I mentioned Manchester, and we're there. We're staying at Media City because it's a great location afterwards, you know, to celebrate. It's a great location to go have some food the day before and get to the race start and all that. And we said the same thing, that we want to be around people. We don't want to be kind of tucked away, because it's such an easy conversation starter, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
you know, even people not involved in the marathon, they all know that that's what's happening that weekend. It's such a buzz in the city.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest event you've got coming up?
Something called Escape from Meriden in November, which...
Escape from Meriden?
Yeah.
And first of all, where's Meriden?
Meriden's in Coventry.
Is it?
Yeah, it's down in Coventry. Yep.
Okay.
And apparently it's in... like a market centre that we're going to start, and there's a cenotaph and people line up there at midnight on this Friday evening. So it's a night race. Well, it's a 24-hour race.
Okay.
So, and you get the option of doing it on your own, running for 24 hours, or you can do it as a chained pair. Well, I've got nobody who's crazy enough to do it with me. Get as long as you... 24 hours to do it. And my plan is to start there at midnight. I'm going to follow a kind of canal path. Not going to give away too many clues about where I'm running, because I don't want anybody to catch up with me. But I'm planning on running...
tactics. Am I okay to ask this question?
Yes.
This question will self-destruct in 5 seconds. So you've got to escape from Meriden.
You've got to run as far as you can.
I feel like we need to play some
flies.
Kind of great escape music here. This is brilliant. Are you doing it on your own?
I am doing this on my own,
So you've got no partner with you or anything?
No, nothing at all.
And you're currently working out which is the best escape route?
Yeah, the best thing about this Meriden is the fact that when you enter the race a month before, they send you an orange jumpsuit. So not only are you running away at night, but you're actually 150 people wearing these orange jumpsuits.
I mean, this is just bonkers, isn't it? And do you know what? I really mean this. I love the fact that there is so much variety in the types of runs that you could do. But you know what? People say, "Oh, running's boring." But there's so many events you can do.
How can it be boring when you've got things like this to plan? How can I run at night without falling into a canal or something?
Danny's got his head in his hands.
Yeah, because he's going to have to join me on the bike. I am asking for people to join me along the route. So once I've got my route sorted, I'll let you know, because I'm planning to run 62 miles back up to Derby.
My gosh, I mean, it makes me tired just thinking about it. You're bonkers. I think it's brilliant.
I am bonkers. Yay!
So what are you running again this week? How does it look for you?
So tomorrow I'm running with the guys from work.
I'm coaching now. I've got my coaching hat on. What are you running?
Tomorrow we're running with the guys from work, and then it'll be a long run again on Sunday, where I'm going to try and get Danny to come with me, because all of my friends are running Great North this weekend. How rude.
Oh my gosh.
So I've got nobody to run with. So if you're up for it, if you're up for it, we'll...
You might be pushing your luck with Pete.
Washing your hair this weekend.
Well, look, I have to say, you know, this is obviously a relatively new podcast. And then I'm thinking, we should have a feature, Pressure Pete, where basically people put as much pressure on Pete as possible to start running. Because
like
he's not up
for
it. And I can't do it on my own. You know, I'm an influential guy, but I've got my work cut out here.
Well, I've got a treadmill in the garage. We should just chuck him on it now.
Danny, lock the door.
Get your trainers out.
I'm scheming a plan here. Listen, it's been fantastic talking to you. I'm going to steal a couple of biscuits if you don't mind. Take them for the journey home. But I wish you all the best and good luck with Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Get all the video content at runningwithjake.com/podcast and subscribe on iTunes and leave a review and send us cash in an envelope.
So the podcast is great because it gives me the chance to answer your questions. If there's something in particular that you are desperate to know, it's hashtag Ask Jake and I will do my best each show to help you answer those questions and improve your running. Now, Steve wants to know, he's got a half marathon coming up. He's quite keen on going for a PB, but he wants to know my opinion on whether I think running with music is a good thing or a bad thing. Now, Steve, this really depends on whether you're talking about racing with music or whether you're talking about training with music. Let's assume that you're talking about using music to train to. Yes, it's going to pass the time. It's going to make the run a little bit easier, potentially. But I think it really depends on what type of music you're listening to. Because sometimes if you're listening to your favourite songs, some high octane music, what happens is you're feeling good. You naturally start to pick the pace up, which is great. But the flip side to that is you can end up running too quickly, which means you start to burn out towards the end of your run. So just be mindful before every run and you start to think about if you're going to listen to music or not, what type of session it is, and therefore what type of music you need to listen to get the most out of it. I hope that helps, and don't forget to let me know, of course, how you get on with a half marathon. Best of luck to you. Hashtag Ask Jake, and we'll be answering more of your questions in the next show. That's it for today's show. I can't believe where time has gone, but it has. That is it. It is time to don the trainers, get out there for some fresh air and bag some miles. Whatever you're up to for the rest of the week, enjoy it, run safe. If you want to keep up to date with the content from today's show, so the video content and the show blog, you know what to do by now. Head over to runningwithjake.com/podcast. And, of course, you can follow me and check out what else I've been up to with the selfie stick on the usual channels, Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Running with Jake. Oh, and before you go, one last thing. A comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there.
And on next week's episode of Running with Jake,
the phone will ring and John will be on the other side of the phone going, look, it's great, you can get teletext on it and everything. And he's pressing it and you can hear him. I'm going, John, you've called me again. John, put the phone down.
What's he doing Saturday? I should introduce him to my grandma.
Running with Jake, the podcast. That's a wrap. Running with Jake, the performance community.
My name's Carl Benbridge and I have been part of the performance community for 6 months now. The start of it, I was kind of pretty amateur runner really. I could go out for about a mile or so, but I didn't quite know how to sort of get better or whether I was running the right way or anything like that. So Jake's put me on the right path, literally, and helped me kind of sort of focus on improving and getting better. Over the time, I've improved massively. I think sort of in that 6 months, I've gone from, you know, struggling to run like 2 miles sort of fast to doing sort of 10 miles, 12 mile runs quite happily and sort of finishing them feeling like I could carry on going. So for me, that's a humongous step. It really is. I'm quite proud of being able to do it. If you do want to improve your performance, the performance community is a fantastic place to start. You know, you've got people that are running sub 4 marathons that are now aiming for sub 3 and stuff, and they're using the science behind what Jake's teaching to really kind of focus on the right type of training, whether it's from sort of simply just getting out and being more consistent or really refining the way that you're running from technique to training levels and zones and heart rates. It's got a bit of everything for everybody, really, so I definitely recommend it.
The performance community, where recreational runners improve performance by training like elite athletes. Be part of it at runningwithjake.com.